You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a new bill would allow changes to high-capacity water wells to go forward without approval from the Department of Natural Resources. We'll talk to the bill's main author.
First, Labor Day weekend may be over, but the conversation about jobs, unemployment, and wages here in Wisconsin promises to continue well into the future. Over the Labor Day weekend, the Center on Wisconsin Strategy released its State of Working Wisconsin 2015 report, which found that the state isn't keeping up on many of those issues.
Among other things, the report identifies slow growth in the state's labor market, long-term wage stagnation in wages, and extreme racial disparity in unemployment, finding that Wisconsin had the highest African-American unemployment rate in the nation in 2014.
Here with us now to talk more about that report is Laura Dresser. She's the Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little more about the State of Working Wisconsin 2015 report and what exactly you're trying to find out when you set out on this.
Well, every year we sit down to try and dig through the data and really look at how working people in the state are doing. It's like taking a worker's eye view to all the economic statistics and trying to run it through a sieve and figure out what the bottom line for working people is. We've done it every year since 1996, so we've been doing this one a while.
And one of the things that leapt out in this report is, as we just mentioned, that racial disparity in unemployment. Wisconsin, the highest African-American unemployment rate in the nation, the report says, in 2014. How big a gap is that, and how does it compare to other states?
Yeah, the first number that should really catch attention is that one in five workers, black workers in the state, were unemployed in 2014. One-fifth of the workforce, a 20% unemployment rate. That's an unemployment rate that's more than four times higher than the white rate in the state, and is both the highest in the nation and the highest level of disparity, because, in fact, the national disparity is two times. Black workers are twice as likely to be unemployed as white workers, making it sort of 5% and 10%. Here in Wisconsin, we're more like 4 and a little percent compared to 20%. And that's one statistic that's off the charts.
And that's a way that Wisconsin would not want to stand out. What do we know about why that is?
You know, if you look at African-American and white disparity across almost any variable in previous releases, we've looked at other data. Wisconsin is always very high on the inequality, whether it's child poverty, test scores and graduation rates at the schools, income and unemployment and incarceration. You can find high levels of racial disparity in the state. I think sometimes people think that that's just the way the U.S. works. But no, Wisconsin is worse than the U.S., and Wisconsin is worse than it used to be. In 1979, Wisconsin was a relatively good state for blacks. That is, the average black worker here earned more than the average black worker in the rest of the nation. That turned around in the manufacturing restructuring and the restructuring of Milwaukee and the segregation and the way race has run across that.
There are a lot of people tackling the various items you just mentioned, education, poverty, employment. Do you have any thoughts on policy prescriptions that might tackle this element of it, this gap in unemployment between white and black Wisconsinites?
Well, I think there's some important work to do in terms of getting the economy to grow and getting wages up at the bottom of the labor force, but also thinking about discrimination in this state, the right of action, and the ways that workers can defend that black workers can have access to work, and also thinking about banning the box, and which is a way of making it illegal to ask about previous criminal record history, can matter a lot for some folks who are coming back to the community and looking for jobs.
Talking to Laura Dresser from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy about the new State of Working Wisconsin report just out over Labor Day weekend. Let's go job growth now. National job growth compared to Wisconsin's rate. What kind of numbers are we seeing?
Well, Wisconsin, the national economic recovery has been weak, and it shouldn't kind of stand out for, you know, being a strong recovery. It's been a weak recovery. We only just in the last year, the U.S. economy has recovered to 2007 levels. Wisconsin's economy didn't recover to 2007 levels till almost 9 months later. That's because Wisconsin has been growing more slowly than the national already slow rate. So if we'd kept up, if we had recovered jobs at the same rate the national economy had recovered jobs, we would have recovered 90,000 more jobs than we have. Every time the nation was getting eight jobs, or a state the size of Wisconsin should have gotten eight jobs, we got five. That's left us 90,000 behind. And that's a kind of remarkable difference for a long-term drag on how we're doing.
Nationwide, if I'm reading your charts right, we're at a point now where there are more jobs in the American economy than there were on the eve of the big the Great Recession. Wisconsin, we're just now hitting that point. We're pretty much at a level with that point.
That's exactly right. It's important to remember that from 2007, when the eve of the Great Recession, to current, the population has grown. So even just getting back to where we were in 2007 doesn't feel like as much opportunity, even at the national level. But especially in Wisconsin, we're well behind.
But when we look at unemployment rates, we are doing better in Wisconsin than the national average, right?
That's true. Wisconsin is just barely below the national average. We often are. Partly that owes to our slightly older age profile. Younger folks tend to have more unemployment, more time looking for jobs. We're slightly older than the national average, and we have slightly lower unemployment. But it's true, our unemployment is back down to 2007 levels. I think the national view on that, and also the view in the state of Wisconsin, is a lot of people have taken themselves out of calling themselves looking for work. And so there is still slack in the labor market. This is one of the reasons people think that we see so little wage growth, is that there is slack in the labor market, even though the unemployment rate appears to be back where it was.
And let's pick up on that point of wage growth. What's the picture there on this new report?
Well, this is a long-term, and it's, you know, it's a national and Wisconsin story of stagnation, very slow wage growth from 1979 to current. The hourly wage of the person right at the middle of the wage distribution in the state has gone up, once you correct for inflation, 71 cents an hour. So a kind of annual hourly raise of 2 cents a year over 35 years. We know that median worker has more education today. We know that median worker is working on much more productive technologies. The net take for that is about $1,400 a year. And that, by historical standards, is very low wage growth. Wisconsin mirrors the national stagnation there, basically.
So why in Wisconsin and nationally is wage growth growing so slowly?
Well, this this is a question that many, many minds have wrestled with. But it's certainly the case that sometime in the 1970s, what happened is, some people call it the Great Divergence. As the economy grew, median wages stagnated and the fortunes of folks at the bottom of the labor market fell. What you know, the other way to say what's going on when you see that kind of divergence is you have inequality growing because you're creating more goods and service. Your economy is growing. The rewards of that are not going to the middle of the economy. They're going to the top end. And that's been the inequality and the issue of inequality that has really come into focus over the last 5 years, I'd say.
We've been talking about employment and unemployment. What about that category of, some people call it underemployment, people working maybe part-time, they'd rather be working full-time. What do we know about that in Wisconsin?
This is another place where you can see pretty significant slack in the labor market. But fortunately, again, this one is also falling, as is unemployment. Still, if you look at the African-American worker, 5% of African-American workers are in part-time jobs but wish they had full-time jobs. So if you look that together with the unemployment rate, that's 1 in 4 black workers. The number for white workers is closer to 3%, but that's still high and a sign of the weakness in the labor market. And that's one I think we expect to move over the next year because the hiring that we're seeing and folks are finally, I think, getting closer to the schedules that they want.
And the report mentions scheduling difficulties for, in particular, those part-time workers, some full-time workers in lower-income jobs, the whole on-demand scheduling.
Yeah, this is something that really has come into labor markets, especially retail and food service, housekeeping, over the last 20 or 30 years, just a real prevalence of volatile scheduling and just-in-time systems that are sort of at the choice of the employer. So the employer does a census and sees how much foot traffic is coming in the door. And if they don't have enough, they call you up and tell you not to come in for your shift. They schedule you 2 weeks in advance. They send you home if, you know, the weather changes and no one's coming in. So that the not only is the wage low in low-wage jobs, but the number of hours is quite volatile and unpredictable. And what you often do if you don't have enough hours in one job is you get another job, but the volatility of the scheduling makes it almost impossible to sign up for more shifts to get another job. And so that's a real problem at the bottom of the labor market that doesn't just get carried through the wage.
We're talking right now with Laura Dresser with the Wisconsin Center on Wisconsin Strategy about the group's new report that covers topics like jobs, unemployment, and wage growth in Wisconsin, and why the state appears to be falling behind in some of these measures.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you personally been affected by unemployment or stagnant wages here in Wisconsin? And what do you think needs to be done to address some of the issues highlighted in this report? Are you confident that Wisconsin can improve? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Laura Dresser with the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. They recently released a report called The State of Working Wisconsin in 2015, which looks at trends in things like jobs, wages, and unemployment, and finds that the state still has some significant hurdles to overcome.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is the economy? What is the jobs outlook? What are wages like in your part of the state, in your line of work? Are you frustrated with slow job and wage growth, or do you think Wisconsin is on the right path now? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Jim on the line in Richland Center. Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Thank you.
What do you want to bring up, Jim?
I am a frustrated employer in that we operate a nursing home and we open 25 new beds. And we're limited with admissions because we don't have enough certified nursing assistants. Our wage scale is competitive, but we're held down by medical assistance, which needs to be subsidized by Medicare and private pay. And we're not even getting applicants, and we're losing applicants to big box and fast food stores that are able to increase their wages greater than our dedicated workers.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. So a competitive industry, a healthcare, not one that always pays a ton. Also, it sounds a little like an element of the skills gap we keep hearing so much about, Laura. Your thoughts on what Jim had to say, Laura?
Well, I really appreciate this call. It is such an important point to look at, especially the work in nursing homes and home health care. These are places where, and Jim's exactly right, the Medicare and Medicaid policy are essentially almost directly affecting or setting a wage scale that is not able to move as we see, you know, retail and others lifting the wage floor a little bit. It's very hard for home health and nursing homes to keep up with that. And it's a matter of policy. These are jobs taking care of people. These are jobs at the front lines of our healthcare system. And we need to insist on a level of quality and be willing to pay for that quality. So that's certainly a key issue at the bottom of the labor market, especially in the healthcare sector, where so much of our job growth is in these jobs that have had long-term stagnation at pretty low wages.
Is this something that could be affected at a state policy level, or since these are federal programs, is this something that a solution would have to come from Congress and the president?
Well, in fact, it's always a little bit of both. I think the right answer is if federal policy could make a big difference, state policy could be more attentive to it. You can move both home health workers and nursing home workers in Massachusetts, Washington State have had big raises recently run through the state government. So it is possible to set up new dynamics at the state level. But the federal constraints are heavy, and it is important to look to D.C. as well for an answer on it.
Jim, thanks for bringing up those issues. Good luck to you. We'll go next to John in Sturgeon Bay. John, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Great program. Yeah, but something that I just really think is really hurts our area, and I don't know if it's throughout the state, but I teach at a technical college. We've got a lot of people that have come back to school, and they're not your traditional college students. A lot of people are 26, 28, 30 years old. They have a couple of kids, and they get out of, you know, I teach in the business area, but they get out, and the jobs that they're waiting for them oftentimes are $12, $13, $14, maybe $15 an hour jobs, and people tend to think that that's a livable wage, and it just, you know, I just challenge people to really think that $15 an hour isn't what it used to be, and think about actually raising a family on that, and with the cost of with daycare and things like that, it becomes almost, you know, prohibitive to go back to work, and I just think some, you know, I think that's where the wage disparity in general in our country becomes very evident. You know, people at the top are making a lot of money, and they need to pass it down. Your caller just previously just said they can't even get applicants, but that's just because they're not paying enough. It's really simple. So,
John, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Laura Dresser in on that point. And in the report, you have kind of an over-under where you set a bar and find out how many jobs in Wisconsin are under that and how many over it.
Yeah, and the bar that we use is what is the wage that a full-time, full-year worker would need to make to keep a family of four out of poverty. And that wage is $11.54. But as the caller's pointing out, you know, staying out of poverty is an extremely low threshold. And if you actually go out and say, what does it cost to take care of two adults and two kids in almost any community in this state, especially if those kids need childcare and you are paying for health insurance in some way, you cannot make ends meet almost on $15 an hour. That's exactly right. When I say make ends meet, I mean that you're talking about running out of food at the end of the month, not being able to pay for basic utilities, real stress for families. And that's so it is. I think the caller is exactly right that, you know, 15 maybe sounded like a lot a while ago. It doesn't feel like a lot now. And moving that wage floor up matters, but also trying to find a way to move more people up from even the middle of the labor market will matter a lot as well.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Laura, before we go back to callers, one more issue I wanted to get into. You've been tracking gender gap in wages in Wisconsin. How's that looking now?
You know, that one's been slowly over the last 35 years coming together. Men's and women's wages at the median. Right now, the women's median wage is 81 cents for every dollar at the men's median wage. 81 cents for a dollar man earns. That was 59 cents in 1979. So those have come together quite a ways. There's two things going on in there. One's a bit of good news. Women's wages are coming up. One's a bit of bad news. Men's wages are coming down. And so, you know, I think equality that's achieved at $5 an hour or whatever isn't what people are looking for. So there's two stories inside that slow merger. And that looks about like the national.
Go back to our callers now with Josh in West Bend. Josh, hi.
Hi, how's it going? I'll try to keep this short, but I wanted to bring up how my old employer would cheat his employees out of overtime. They would pay you salary for 10 hours a day, work you about 13 hours a day, 12 hours a day all summer. Then when it became fall, you'd only work about 7 hours, 6 hours. And what they would do is that pool of overtime that you never got, they would apply it to your salary for the missing hours. So by the time the end of the year came around and they gave you your overtime, they siphoned all of it to pretty much they were able to work you 12, 13 hours a day and not pay you the actual time and a half.
Josh, thanks for the call. Laura, from your visible reaction there, I gather this isn't quite kosher?
No, that's not legal. As the caller was saying, that's not legal. And in fact, the issue of overtime is a important policy one right now. Many workers get called supervisors and get exempted from qualifying for overtime that way. The Obama administration has just written or proposed new rules on overtime, and it's an important moment to get those new rules to extend to more workers. But the caller's making another point, which is it is critical that we enforce the law that we have. You can find workers in every corner of the state working below the minimum wage, working for cash, working, you know, off the books in ways that violate wage and hour law and OSHA law, safety and health law. And, you know, we need to have robust enforcement of the regulations we do have, not just, you know, a good set of laws that get neglected as they did for the caller.
Thanks a lot for that call. Laura, this is, as you say, an annual report. What kind of things are you going to be looking for over the next year until the next report to see if some of these measures are moving in a positive direction?
Well, I think in a lot of ways at the national level, people thought 2015 is going to be the year we get back to wage growth and robust wage growth in the economy. So I'm hoping for that for 2016 now. That dream appears to be deferred for all of us at the national level and in the state. But I think we'll be looking next year for continued decent wage growth and decent jobs growth. Again, the rickety economy in China is a real challenge looking forward, and the European crisis also puts some clouds on the horizon that are not just about the domestic economy. But I think the jobs and wages are still what people are looking for and will be looking for the next report.
Staying at the national level for a moment, we're in the early stages, of course, of a presidential race. What kind of conversations are you hoping come up among candidates, come up in debates?
Well, I think there's a lot of issues around, some issues have already started coming up. The minimum wage has had quite a year. 2015 has been a good year for the minimum wage. Local initiatives, sector-based initiative, fast food workers in New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago, all moving aggressively to $13 and $15 on the minimum wage. And I think you'll hear candidates talking about minimum wages going forward. I think health insurance and how we deal with health insurance, both Obamacare and the interplay between the public and private system will matter a lot going forward. And then these issues of labor standards and how they're enforced.
Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today. That was Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. She joined us to talk about the group's new State of Working Wisconsin 2015 report.